manger laid, sent to earth sin's price to pay. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. See him stand in Pilate's hall, see him take the blame for all. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory, and he will always be my Savior. See him wear a crown of thorns, see him mocked and laughed to scorn. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He's my Savior, he's my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory, and he will always be. Yes, he will always be, and he will always be my Savior.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Myers, for the opportunity. Again, we missed the friends that we have here, and this is our home church. This is our sending church. And I thank God for Pacific Baptist Church. Thank God for the being a lighthouse in this community. And just think about it. So many lives have been changed because of the ministries of this church. Amen. And our church in Daly City, Harvest Baptist Church, is a fruit of this ministry. And to God be the glory. Let's all stand. We're going to give honor to the Word of God. 2 Kings, please, chapter 6. My prayer this morning is that I could be a help, that I could be an encouragement. I believe God gave this message. I just want to be a help this morning. 2 Kings, chapter 6, and just two verses. 2 Kings, chapter 6, and verses 15 and 16. I will read verse 15. Join with me with verse 16. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 15, the Bible says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Let's read verse 16 as our last. "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them." Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, we are undeserving, but thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for putting us into the ministry. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, empower me this morning. Use me to be a blessing. Speak to the hearts of the people. I pray, Lord, that you please anoint my lips, anoint the message this morning, anoint the ears and the hearts of the hearers, and all All things we pray in the name of our most precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Many months ago, God put us in a trying times, a very difficult times. My wife, almost every week, you know, we bring her to the hospital. It might be her vision, or, you know, she has a very poor vision. And then the doctor diagnosed her with on her kidney cancer. So they have to got quick surgery on her, and took the half of the kidney. And after a few months, 2-3 months, it failed. So we rushed her again to the hospital. She cannot breathe. And the doctor said, we need to make a decision ASAP. She needs to be put into dialysis because her kidney is only 4% functioning. You know, I'm serving the Lord. I'm a pastor. You know, we're in the center of God's will. But sometimes if you are hit with those kinds of news, my reaction was, Lord, what do we do now? What do we do now? I mean, where do we go from here? Lord, help us. In life, there's going to be trials, testings. Maybe this morning you're here and you're going through some difficulties. Maybe physical problems, maybe health problems, maybe financial problems. And you ask that question, what do we do now? What do I do now? I remember a pastor. He got a call from a members from another church. And the members were saying, Pastor, please help us. And so the pastor said, why don't you talk to your pastor? The member said, well, Pastor, our pastor ran off with the secretary. What do we do now? How about the missionary from Wisconsin? 3 kids, the eldest is 4 years old, and then 2 years old, and then 6 months. They were on deputation. They will go to Japan. They were hit by a semi while on deputation. I mean, they were in the center of God's will. None of them survived. Missionary family on deputation. You know, the families and the church, their pastor are asking that same question. What shall we do? What shall we do? In our text, I want you to see in our text, notice in verse 15, here was the servant of Elisha, the man of God, the prophet. Here in verse 15, notice the last part. Alas, my master. Can you say with me the last words there? How shall we do? In our terms, that will be, what shall we do? What shall we do? I want to preach this morning on that subject. What shall we do? I'm going to give you 3 lessons here. Very simple. I want to be helped this morning. I believe there's people in our congregation that is always hurting. Maybe that is you this morning. And you're asking that same question. What shall we do? What shall I do? I'm going to give you 3 simple lessons. All starts with letter T. First of all, first point is this. Troubles will come. When I say troubles, it means sickness. It means testings. It means problems. It means things that will hurt you. It means things that will change your life forever. Troubles will come. I want you to see the background here. In verse 8, the king of Syria warred against Israel. Means they declared war against Israel. And so the Bible says here that the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And this king was saying, we're going to have a strategic plan here. We're going to attack the military of Israel here. And so he says, we're going to ambush them. We know that they pass on this route, so we're going to put our military here, and we're going to attack them. We're going to ambush them. And the Bible says they never showed up. Notice in verse 9. And the man of God, this is Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, here was the preacher saying, beware. He was giving them warning. That thou pass not such a place. So the preacher said, don't go on this. Because God told the preacher. And so what happened here, this Syrian army, they were waiting and waiting, and the Israel never showed up. And so what they did, they went to another place. Maybe on this road, they're going to pass. And so they put their armies again there, and they never showed up again. And so the king of Syria was so angry. And the king said, there must be a spy around here. There must be a traitor around here. Someone might be working in a CIA or something. The king was angry, notice in verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called the servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He was saying, are you for me or against me? Someone here is a spy. I want you to see verse 12. And all the servants says, and one of his servants said, none, my lord. No one is a spy here. None, my lord, O king, but Elisha. You know, all of them said, no, there's no spy here. You know who is at fault here? The preacher. The preacher. I want you to see the lesson here, friends. Satan is always after the pastors, the preachers, the missionaries, the ministry leaders. If you're serving the Lord, Satan is after you. All of them are saying, you know, it's the preacher. It's the pastor and the family. That's why I covet your prayers. Pray. Always pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. If you think of the word pastor, you've heard it many times probably. When you think of the word pastor, the letter P, it means pray. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Pastor Joe and the family. Pray for Pastor Myers and the family and all the staff and all the leaders. Pray for your leaders. P, it means pray for your pastor. Letter A, assist. You see, the pastor or the staff cannot do it alone. Amen? We need everyone laboring together. Assist. Pastor, the word pastor, P, it means pray for your pastor. A, assist your pastor. S, support them. Financially, but more than that, you know, support all the services. Hello? Be in your place. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, soul winning time. Every time the church door is open, support the ministry. Amen? These, thank them. Thank them. Every time you think of the word pastor, pray, assist, support, thank them. Pastor Myers, we have one couple. You've met this couple, Caucasian couple. They surrendered also to be a missionary aid or missionary helpers in Cebu. So they left last Sunday. We had a sending off party last week. When they left, they said, Pastor, just want to thank you for your preaching. Thank you for the direction that you've given us. Now we're going to be serving there in Cebu as well. You know, simple words, but you know, it means a lot to the pastor. Pray for your pastor. Assist your pastor. Support your pastor. Thank your pastor. Oh, it means obey your pastor. Do you know that's biblical? In Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that had the rule over you. R, it means respect your pastor. David said, touch not God's anointed. Amen. Hello. I never call my pastor first name. Respect the office of the pastor. Hello. I want you to see the in our text here. He said, oh, it's the preacher's fault. It's the preacher's fault. And then in verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is. They said, I want you to find out where Elisha lived. And so, verse 13, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city. So they found out this is where Elisha lived. And so they sent all the chariots, all the horses. In verse 15, I want you to see here, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, so he was early, the servant, and probably he's going to brew some Starbucks coffee, amen? And he was trying to, you know, stretch out a little bit, and he looked on the window. Oh, my soul, notice what he said. He said, risen early and gone forth, and behold, the host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, here was the servant of the preacher, said, alas, my master, what shall we do? You know what he was saying? Master, we're in trouble. Let me say this morning, troubles will come. Troubles will come. And maybe that's how you feel. You know, the armies of Satan, the enemies around you. You know, there's problems over here. There's marriage problems over here. There's financial problems over here. And maybe there's some issues over here with your children and so forth. I mean, around you, the enemy, the arsenal is focusing on you. And you're thinking, I'm in trouble. Troubles will come. Troubles will come. Maybe some health issues this morning. Maybe persecutions. Maybe some bills to pay. Maybe cancer. Maybe a dialysis. Troubles will come. Notice in Psalms chapter 60, please. Psalm 60. Psalms chapter 60, verse 11. David said, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. David said, give us help. You know, in times of trouble, we need God. We need God's help. We need to pray. We need to beg. We need to plead for God, because vain or useless is the help of man. In times of trouble, only God can help us. Right. Amen. Notice in chapter 61, if you are in trouble this morning, I want you to see the Bible gives us some pointers here in chapter 61. First of all, the Bible says in verse 1, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. You know, if we're in trouble, the best thing to do is to cry unto God. Yes, sir. When was the last time you shed tears? Our prayers will be much powerful on our bended knees with tears. Cry unto God. In verse 2, the Bible says, if we're in trouble, notice in verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, if we're in trouble, not only we cry to God, the Bible says in verse 2 here, we need to seek God's guidance. We need to seek God's direction. We need to seek God's leading. You see, God is doing something. Amen? But we need to seek His guidance. In verse 5, the Bible says here, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. The word vows are strong words, not just a promise or commitments. It means when you're going through some difficulties or troubles, don't quit. But instead, make a strong commitment. I'm going to stay. Amen? I'm going to be steadfast. Troubles will come. Troubles will come. Daniel, a great man of God in the Bible, faithful. He was a man of prayer, but God allowed him to be thrown into the lion's den. Joseph in the Old Testament, he was falsely accused, and then he was put in prison. He was walking with God. Troubles will come. I remember one pastor, I remember someone asked the pastor, "Pastor, why did God allow trouble in my life? Why did God allow these trials, these problems in my life? I'm serving the Lord. Why?" The pastor answered just two words. Why not? Why not? Thank God we're saved, but friends, we're not immune from trials and testings. We're not exempted from trials and testings and troubles. Troubles will come. The second thing I want you to see here, very simple here. I want you to see secondly here, in our text, 2 Kings chapter 6, the servant said to Elisha, "What shall we do? We're in trouble." Secondly, I want you to see in verse 16, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Notice in verse 16, and he answered, here's Elisha the prophet, and he answered, read with me the first two words, fear not. Fear not. Fear is the opposite of trusting God. Fear is a very powerful emotion. It can paralyze you. Fear can keep you from succeeding in your spiritual lives. Fear will steal your joy. Fear will take away that courage. Fear will give you disappointments. And so the Bible was saying here, hey, fear not. Amen. But instead, trust in the Lord. Someone said the word fear not, or fear ye not, or be not afraid was mentioned in the Bible 366 times. We have 365 days plus leap year, 366 times. You can claim that verse, fear ye not. God was saying here, just trust him. Just rely upon him. Just have faith in him. Just depend upon him. Just lean on him. Believe. Have confidence in him. Here he was asking the question, what shall we do? We're in trouble. The prophet was saying here, trust him. Trust him. Trusting God, it simply means believing his word, believing that he has the power, believing that he has the ability to deliver. Right. Do you know the word Christians means believers? We're called believers. Amen? But a lot of times we don't believe. We don't believe that God can supply our needs. We don't believe that God can solve our problems. We don't believe that God can heal. Trust in the Lord. Trust God in difficult times. Trust God in trials. Trust God in hard times. Trust God because he has a purpose. Why do we need to trust God, Pastor? I want you to see in verse 16 again. Elijah said here, fear not. Let me give you two reasons why we need to trust God. We need to trust God in verse 16, the second part of this verse, because our God is greater. You need to say amen there. Our God is greater. Notice in verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Our God is greater. Our God is bigger. Our God is more powerful. Amen. In 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I mean, friends, if God is on our side, it's a majority. Amen. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is too hard for him. If God can create something out of nothing, if God can divide the Red Sea, if God can feed the 5,000 friends, God can heal. Amen. Amen. If he can raise the dead, if he can turn water into wine, if he can send manna from heaven, friends, God can solve our problems. Yes, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Why do we need to trust God, Pastor? Because God is greater. Why do we need to trust God? Because his ways are better. We know that verse, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, for as the heaven is higher above the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways.
trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes as Christians, if you're a Christian for many years, you know, sometimes the hardest for Christians are the simple things. We neglect the simple things, prayer, reading our Bibles, the same thing with trusting the Lord. We're going through some difficulties, you know, and we want to solve it, we want to do, you know, something, or we want to ask help from others, but why not trust in the Lord? You know, God showed me many, many times when we moved to Daly City, Pastor, we downsized so much. Our credit was affected. Daly City is the most, you know, next to San Francisco, very, very expensive area. Someone told me, you will go there and start a church? How can you rent a home? Our credit is not good when we were starting. How can you provide for your family? And all I can say is, God called me there. Somehow, God will provide. I'm just going to be, you know, stepping by faith. I'm just going to trust God. But sometimes, you know, you cannot explain it to your family. Hey, guys, we're going to rent a house. We're going to, you know, God will provide. It's just, you know, testing us. We were starting. And so we were looking for a house. That was Saturday. We were knocking on doors. And we were knocking on doors close to our old property, a school building. There was a for rent sign. While we were knocking on doors, I saw that for rent sign. The Holy Spirit whispered to me, that's going to be your home. And so I told my wife, do you see that for rent sign? That's going to be our house. And my wife said, how do you know? I know. So we knocked on the door. And there was this Chinese lady. And when I said to this Chinese lady, we want to rent this house, but let me tell you, I don't have a good credit. I don't have a first and last month to pay. But I'm a pastor. When I mentioned the word pastor, he looked up. She looked up. And she said in Chinese, you know, thank you, Lord. Amen. She was thanking her God. And this lady said, you know, Pastor, the previous tenant destroyed the home. Very nice, great credit, but they destroyed our home. And so this lady was saying, Lord, she was praying to her God, Lord, give us a Christian. Hello. And here am I, said, I don't have a good credit. I don't have first and last, but I'm a pastor. And so she was saying, thank God, because you did not just send a Christian, you send a pastor. Amen. Just trust the Lord. When we were renting in this school, Jefferson School District, they gave us 1 year to look. Very, very hard to find a building there in our area. Very hard to look for, you know, beautiful parking. You have here a great building and so forth. We don't have it there. So we were praying. I saw this property, Philippine Grocery. And so I talked to the owner. And the owner, you know, first impression, he said, Pastor, I like you. And I like this building to be a church. If you want this building, because there are so many people that want this building, if you want this building, give me $16,000 next week. Again, we were just starting. We don't even have $1,000 in our bank, amen? Much more $16,000. That was big for us. We were starting. And I said to the owner, yes, sir, next week I will have $16,000. That time, our emphasis was God is able. I was reading my Bible in the book of Daniel. And these three Hebrew boys said, but if not, O king, our God is able. And I prayed. And I said, Lord, could you please make this verse real to me as a pastor, that I could encourage our people. While I was praying, God is my witness. My cell phone is right here. My cell phone rang. And there was this man, not a member, a friend. I heard that you're going to get this building. I'm going to give you $5,000. Following day, a pastor called me. I heard that you're going to get this. It was a secret, amen. But they heard it from God. The pastor called. I'm going to give you $5,000. That Sunday morning, I challenged our people. We're able to reach $5,000. There was this one member. She's been away for a year and a half. She came back and said, Pastor, I'm going to give my tithes for the whole year. That Tuesday, I was able to give the owner $16,000. I'm just saying, friends, over and over again, God was showing me, yes, trust in the Lord. This morning, whatever you're going through some troubles, trust in the Lord. In Psalms 118, verse 8, this is the center verse of the Bible. And the Bible says there, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in man. Trust in the Lord. I want you to see in our text, first of all, troubles will come. Secondly, trust in the Lord. I want you to see lastly here in verse 17 down to verse 21. The last is this. Tragedy to triumph. Tragedy to triumph. The servant of Elisha said, Master, we're surrounded. We're in trouble. But I want you to see what the preacher said. You know, sometimes the members, all they could see was problems. All they would see was the negative. But the preacher, the vision, and the perspective of the preacher is different. I want you to see what Elijah said in verse 17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, or open the eyes of my servant, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. You see, to this servant, all he could see was trouble, trials, problems, testings. But the preacher said, no, we're not in trouble. We're not surrounded. Actually, they were surrounded. I'm saying this morning, friends, God can turn tragedy to triumph. God can turn our tragedy to triumph. God opened the eyes of this servant, and all he could see was the angels of God, the armies of God surrounding the man of God. God can turn tragedy into triumph. He said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. I believe that is a good prayer today. Open the eyes of faith of the people. Sometimes our focus is too small. Sometimes we focus on self. Let's look at the bigger picture. God has a purpose. Amen. Someone says God can turn our mess into a message. God can turn our test into testimony. God can turn our trials to triumph. God can turn victim to victory. Maybe you've heard this. A pastor was walking down the aisle and he heard one of the men in that church was praying. And he was praying, Lord, I hate banana. Lord, I hate baking powder. Lord, I hate flour. I hate salt. This pastor was walking. He was hearing. I mean, something's wrong with this guy. I hate banana. I hate baking powder. I hate salt. I hate flour. I hate butter. I hate sugar. And then he stopped. He says, but Lord, if you put it all together, if you baked it, it's going to be a fresh banana bread. Come on, huh? Hello. moist, soft. I would love it. Sometimes a lot of Christians, the same thing. Lord, I hate my life. I hate these problems. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. I hate my situation, health issues. I hate it. You need to understand God is doing something. Hello. God is working something out for our own good. We need to look on the bigger picture. God can turn tragedy to triumph. I want you to see as we close here, notice in verses 18. And when they came down to him, remember they were surrounded by the armies of Syrian armies. And they were looking for the preacher. I believe they're going to kill the preacher. So this is a tragedy. They were in trouble. They were surrounded. But here, the preacher said, Elisha in verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, smite the people that I pray thee with blindness. Now, if you study here, it's not literally blindness. It means not physical blindness, but that they would have lack of recognition, that they will have lack of discernment, that they will be powerless. In essence, they will be under the spell of Elisha. Think about that. Here in this lesson, you would see here one thing, that God is always in control. And that's what they did. Notice in verse, that's what God did. In verse 19, the Bible says here, and Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. You see, they were looking for the preacher, Elisha. But Elijah said, hey, guys, this is not the place. This is, you know, the man that you're looking for, I'm going to bring you to them. So Elijah was walking. Think about this. And their chariots, the horses, the armies of Syria, they were all following the preacher. From Samaria, from Israel to Samaria was about 36 miles. Here was the preacher walking. All of them are following the preacher unto Samaria. God can turn our tragedy to triumph. You see, he can turn our problems to praise. He can turn bitterness to sweetness. He can turn disease to delight. He can turn our sickness into a smile. The Bible says here, and the story goes here, they were brought to Samaria. The king of Samaria got excited because the preacher handed to them their enemy. So in verse 20, and it came to pass when they were come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of this man that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? They got excited. But the moral of the lesson, or the lesson here, it seems that they were in trouble. But God can turn it. God can turn tragedy into triumph. Friends, trials and testings will come. We're not immune. But God is our all-sufficient resource when it comes to trials. Our help comes from God. God is an omnipotent God. He can take care of his children. Let me say this. He can protect his children. God has a purpose for everything. Whatever is happening in us, God knows it. He has a purpose for it. And lastly here, God is still a miracle-working God. This morning, if you're not saved, God can do a miracle in your life as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.